There were more postponed games this week, more players testing positive for COVID-19, teams violating safety protocols. Stop me if you've heard this before. Well, you're going to hear it again with Mike Pesca, here now as a sports analyst who hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Hi, Mike.
Hi, what a promise. What an incentive to listen.
Well, but actually, I want to start with something we haven't talked about. The dispute between the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team and U.S. Soccer Federation. This week, the two sides reached a settlement over working conditions. They left hanging, you know, pay equal to the men, but still progress?
Yes, it is. So the suit, which was alleged to have been a pay disparity of $66 million, that was thrown out by a judge. And he looked at the numbers, he looked at the differences in pay and said, you haven't even prima facie proved your case. But that left unaddressed this indisputable issue that the women's travel, the women's accommodations, and this is really important, the fields that the women's that the women played on were inferior to the men. Mm-hmm. And the new head of the soccer federation acknowledged that. They worked it out between the women's national team and the federation itself. And so all those things, which really do have a big effect on safety, all of those things will be addressed and equalized. And this also means the actual suit for the money can be appealed, although legal experts say when a judge throws out a suit like that, a successful appeal is very unlikely.
Well, that was going to be my question. So you're saying that they're probably not going to get any further on this equal pay dispute?
This is what the legal experts that I surveyed last time told me and said. But that doesn't mean that in the future, the Federation in and of itself and with negotiating with the team can't equalize pay. But the issue of the back pay seems to be, if not a dead issue, it would be very unlikely that an appeal of that sort of summarily dismissed case would be successful.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a look at the impact of COVID-19. Football, the Saints and Patriots have been fined six-figure sums by the NFL for violating COVID-19 protocols. The Steelers-Ravens game rescheduled three times before the teams finally played yesterday. Could we see the NFL go into a bubble?
It will be very hard. There are so many players and personnel involved in a team. And also, right now, the NFL probably thinks it hasn't done a bad job when it comes to COVID. And you could make the case they haven't had to cancel a game. That is true. They haven't had to cancel a game. In order not to cancel a game, they postponed that Steelers-Ravens game three times and put it at 3:40 in the afternoon because there was a tree lighting ceremony already scheduled on NBC, and 20 Ravens players were not available to play because of COVID, and it made the competition quite unbalanced. And then if you look at what happened in the Broncos game where all of their quarterbacks were out, and they had to pull a wide receiver up off the practice squad, ask him to play quarterback. He had more interceptions than completions. Great. They haven't canceled the game, but they haven't actually fielded competitive teams, contests all the time. I do think a bubble is unlikely. Yeah.
Unlikely. But the, you know, pro basketball went into a bubble in Orlando. And let's talk NBA. They start their new season December 22nd. That seemed to be successful. Are they going to be in a bubble again?
They will be doing, I guess you could say, a modified version thereof. I mean, they're looking at travel schedules. It won't be as strict as the bubble that happened. They're looking at travel schedules, and they're trying to limit contact. It's a 72-game season instead of an 82-game season. They made less money than last year because of fewer games, fallout of ratings. So the contracts won't be as big. This is having an effect of player signings. So, I think the NBA, there is more good faith on the behalf of the players towards the NBA because they did such a good job. The other leagues, and we haven't even talked about college football, I think they are right to question the wisdom of their leagues. But everyone is trying maybe as best they can to get through this.
Yeah. Okay. I want to note two historic figures. Sarah Fuller made history, the first woman to play a Power 5 college game this past weekend, a place kicker for Vanderbilt. But I just want to take a minute for someone who's already taken his place in history. Rafer Johnson. He died yesterday at 86, the first black captain of a U.S. Olympic team. He won gold in the decathlon in the 1960 Olympics, championed the Special Olympics. And many of us remember he wrestled Robert Kennedy's assassin to the ground in that awful moment in 1968 in Los Angeles. Just a few seconds. I hate to do it, but your thoughts?
Yeah. Hero and an icon. And it also speaks to a time when the Olympics and track and field were dominant in our society. What a contribution to America in so many ways.
In so many ways. Mike Pesca, here now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, thanks as always.
You're welcome.
And if it's a new name to you, please Google Rafer Johnson.